This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR, and it's our Reynolds School Media Watch segment. David Stipik here. Next Generation Radio is a one-week student multimedia training project co-sponsored by NPR, NPR member stations, and the Reynolds School of Journalism, along with a host of other professionals. And you might want to think of this as a week-long boot camp for a select group of university journalism students with intense classroom work and mentoring by professional journalists from a number of NPR stations and other organizations. In the studio today to talk with me about this project here on campus is Vanessa Van Kor, coordinator of the Nevada Media Alliance. That's a partnership with the Reynolds School of Journalism, KUNR, the Reno Gazette Journal, and KNPB Public Television. Welcome to the studio, Vanessa.
Thank you.
I should say welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Good to be back.
And Nico Columban, adjunct journalism instructor who teaches one of the radio broadcast classes here at the University of Nevada, Reno. Welcome back as well.
Thank you.
This project actually happened several weeks ago on campus here. But this is a kind of a boot camp environment. And just like in the real world, there's an application process. About 20 or so students applied. Six got in. So, Vanessa, why don't we start with your role in this project?
So I was fortunate enough to be a mentor for the project. Before the boot camp even began, it was up to the mentee to start pitching story ideas and work with us as the mentors on deciding what path they would take and have to pitch it to the folks back in Boston and D.C.
All right. Nico, you also played the role as a mentor for one of these. This is your first experience with this, or did you do this last year as well?
No, this was my first experience. I knew the organizer of the boot camp, Doug Mitchell, from previous professional work. And one interesting thing about the boot camp is that the students were actually paid $500 for the week. So, and they were asked to create professional level content, and they were paid so that the boot camp not be exclusive to people just finishing up their term and needing to work. So even students who need all the money they can get after the semester's over could participate. So that encouraged a very diverse group of applicants, which is the point of the boot camp.
So for the second straight year, we've had these students, this intense workshop, this boot camp going on. Nico, what was it like for you working with some of these students the first time around? One of these students, because each of you was assigned one for the entire week, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And as a mentor is very different than as an instructor because you have that one-on-one relationship. It gets very intense at times. It's very rewarding for both the mentor and the mentee. And you realize that some of the students, you know, obviously are extremely smart, extremely curious, but some of the basics, they don't really have them yet. Even Doug would tell me, you know, you'll have to, you know, take the student's arm and bring the microphone closer to the mouth of the person they're interviewing. Some of those basic things that as a professor, you don't have time to be with the students in the field at all times. Was very rewarding, and it also was eye-opening for me to see how much work and how much knowledge as a professional journalist you have that students don't necessarily get automatically, and you learn through mistakes. But with this program, students learn much faster and can really produce better work.
And Vanessa, you bring your variety of skills as a commercial broadcaster and also in the world of electronic media, the digital media, all of those things, the business community. How did that come to play and how did it work for you with your person you're mentoring?
So I think from the pitching process to final production, as Nico mentioned, it was incredibly valuable to the students because even before the boot camp began, they had to think entrepreneurially. They had to come up with several story ideas, why they thought it was a valid story idea. Could it make its way to NPR radio and why? You know, in my case, my background is in TV broadcasting. So, you know, writing for the ear I could do, but what was rewarding for me as well was the audio mixing and the production for an audio piece and the things you have to consider, not sound, interviews, learning to take, you know, ambient noise of the room you interview in, things that you don't think about when you're a listener, that they had to pick apart every single piece for the production process.
And Nico, we're talking about NAT sound or natural sound that gets worked into a good NPR-style story. How was it working with the students to put all these pieces together?
Well, you had to keep on reminding them of the importance of using those sounds. It's one of the tools that you use. Like as a writer, you use some dialogue, you use some description, you use some interesting, surprising facts. In radio, you have to use your different tools, and NAT sounds are are very important. You have to set the scene up. And this generation is much more video oriented. So I tell them, you know, for example, if you just have a shot in a TV piece of a building, it's going to be really extremely boring if you just have that one building. Well, it's the same in radio. If you just have one style of audio, it's going to lose the listener.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik. It's our Reynolds School Media Watch segment for the day. And we're talking with a couple of guests from the Reynolds School, Vanessa Van Kor, the coordinator of the Nevada Media Alliance, and journalism radio instructor Nico Columbant. We're talking about the NPR Next Generation Radio Boot Camp held recently on the University of Nevada, Reno campus at the Reynolds School. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to the stories themselves now. Vanessa, talk about the journalism student that you mentored as part of this boot camp.
Sure. So the student I worked with is Melania Bongsvirates, also known as Wally, and she is going into her senior year here at the Reynolds School of Journalism, and it was her first experience with radio, which was exciting for both of us.
Right.
And so we went through the pitching process and eventually landed on the story on medical marijuana dispensaries. You know, she had an opportunity to interview a senator, which was exciting for her. She'd never done that before and had also never done a phone interview. So working up the courage, you know, doing her research on the individual and also, you know, interviewed a lobbyist to better understand what's happening on a government level. And throughout the process, her story angle kept changing. You know, we've heard about dispensaries, but how will this story be unique? And who is your compelling character? Who will help tell the story with the audience? Until she connected with a researcher who lives in Oakland, but does research for a local medical marijuana company in Reno. What was most interesting and most exciting for me was watching the evolution from the first interview to the third interview and how it went. You know, as you work with young reporters, the first time they have their list of questions and they go from one question to the next question and they don't listen. And it's something you learn as you learn how to interview. And by the third interview, which happened to be with this guy, I noticed she was listening. So in lieu of jumping to the next question on the list, she would pause, pick up on something he said and follow up on that. And it was through her enhanced interviewing skills that she learned that he actually has epilepsy. And his lifelong commitment to medical marijuana research was because he discovered that medical marijuana helped him with his seizures. It helped him lead, you know, kind of an easier, more fulfilled life. And that led to his lifelong passion. And then that became the story, which
often happens, right?
Oh, it often happens. We had not planned on it. And it was just so great to watch that happen and let her discover that on her own and have her decide that, you know what, this is my story now.
And these stories all run about 4 minutes long. And right now we're just going to hear a clip of this one from Walanya Vongvirates.
When AJ Fabrizio was 17, he was preparing to head off to college clear across the country. Suddenly, he started to experience something he'd never felt before. He forgot where he was. He became anxious. Doctors first told him he was having an anxiety attack. Then he was told epilepsy.
So I was 65 pounds heavier. I was sad and nervous all the time about my seizures.
For Fabrizio, this was his reality. He was having about 40 seizures a week.
I was more angry about stuff due to insecurities.
The type of seizures Fabrizio experienced did not include convulsions, but rather a sensation of blanking out. The doctors prescribed drugs to reduce the seizures, but the side effects could make them worse. Fabrizio felt he had no other option until a friend suggested an alternative. Cannabis. Marijuana. Pot. Fabrizio grew up thinking, you shouldn't ever take drugs.
Oh, yeah.
This was something he never thought he would consider.
I was brought up not, you know, just say no, Nancy Reagan, that whole thing. And I realized I gave it a try. And instead of having three or four seizures in a day, as I was during that time, I didn't have a seizure for 3 weeks.
And that's a clip from journalism student Walanya Vongvirates, her story, The Brain Behind the Bud. And all of this content can be heard online if you want to just Google Next Generation Radio Nevada or find a link on our website at KUNR.org. And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. Our guest in the studio today from the Reynolds School of Journalism, Vanessa Van Kor and Nico Columbant. And we're talking about the recent NPR Next Generation Boot Camp held at the Reynolds School recently. Nika, who'd you have a chance to work with?
I worked with a graduate student, Patricia, who had never done any radio. She'd worked in reality television before and is a writer as well, but she had never done any radio. And she did a story about a former microchip entrepreneur, now known as Jungle Jim Gibson, who has started a Burning Man-type year-round community art space at the Morris Hotel in downtown Reno.
Nico, let's go ahead and share a little sample of this audio with our listeners so they can get a sense of the work done by the student that you mentored, Patricia Boback.
Techno music blasts in the lobby of the Morris Burner Hotel as a handful of 20-somethings trickle through the lobby. Sitting near the front door of the hotel is 63-year-old Jim Gibson. He is the owner of the Morris Hotel. He also owns his own microchip company. He used to wear suits and ties to work every day. Now Gibson wears fedoras, furs, and glow-in-the-dark glasses, and goes by the name Jungle Jim. He got that nickname when he went to his first Burning Man festival in 2008. It was given to him by a woman named Coco.
She's the treasurer for Burning Man. I didn't know any of this at the time, but we got to be good friends, and I don't know where it came from or why, and I knew nothing about the fact that it was a gift, or, you know, you learn these things as you go.
Burning Man is a week-long festival in Nevada's harsh Black Rock Desert. The artistic outdoor festival attracts tens of thousands of people called burners from around the world. Burning Man changed Jungle Jim's life. He wanted to create a place for burners to gather year-round. He saw his chance when the Morris Hotel in downtown Reno was for sale. But this 1928 building was past its prime.
These steps when we moved in here were so disgusting. You'd walk in here and you'd almost puke from the smell. They're kind of dirty right now. Let's go right past that and come up and see some of the rooms.
Jungle Jim invited local artists to help him transform the hotel. Individual artists are designing each room.
This is the Enchanted Forest Room, which is also incredibly popular. It's so crazy. It's a strange-looking beast with a goat head and a man's body and with writing and painted trees and butterflies and a very, very strange furry animal coming out of the wall, legs coming out of the floor.
In the basement, Jeanette Burley is creating a papier-mâché dragon head. Burley has never been to Burning Man. She lives at the hotel with the other volunteers and likes the idea of creating art.
It's a really accessible art scene. Like, we can kind of exist and live mostly fairly cheaply and make art together in this really big, inclusive community where people aren't, like, a huge meanie pants about where you're coming from and whatever, and it's great.
And that's a clip from the story, Check Into Jungle Jim's Burner Hotel. Journalism student Patricia Boback produced this as part of the NPR Journalism Next Generation Radio Boot Camp at the Reynolds School. Nico, you worked with Patricia as her mentor. What did you see working with her?
Well, it was about getting some of those basic facts, some of the nitty-gritty. How much did he pay for this, for that? You know, you sometimes do a feature sometimes, but you also want the backbone. You want the facts. You want to hold people to account to the reality. You know, what is this really about? And I also encouraged her to interview other people, not just the main subject of her profile piece. And it ended up being more a story about the place and the different people there than just the owner. And I thought that made it interesting to get those different perspectives.
It's interesting when we, especially in this business, when we go in with an idea of where you're heading with something, both of you mentioned it, and the story turns out to be in another direction. That's a starting point, but it turns out not to be the story you thought you were going to end up with. And if you follow the story, what compelling radio that really can make. And next up, we have a quick clip from a story about horses being used for healing therapy. This is all, again, part of the Next Generation Radio Boot Camp. This one is from student Topher Cuellar.
As the sun rises...
Hey, babies! Hi, guys!
Lori Roberts feeds bales of hay to her coworkers.
One of those. Still get one of those.
And prepares them for another day of work.
My horses have to offer a little more of a challenge because a lot of the issues that we're dealing with are things like frustration and anger management. So I want a horse that maybe will question and make my challenge work, my client work a little harder.
She's a therapist who uses horses as a form of treatment.
And that's just a very quick clip from the story, Equestrian Turns Heartbreak into Healing Therapy Using Horses. But it gives you a sense of the way students are using the sound that we've been talking about in the story, the horses, the woman talking. Again, that's from student Topher Cuellar. Out of curiosity, where did these stories start? Did they come up with story ideas, or was there a brainstorming? How did this start?
Each student was responsible for coming up with their own story ideas. And I know my student was not the only one who had to shift, you know, one or two days in and or learn that they need to interview other people. And one of the other pieces of the story about the child with the skin condition mm-hmm. has a bilingual component to it. So the family spoke Spanish and was more comfortable speaking in Spanish. Our student is bilingual and has done extensive work in his young career as a student journalist in Spanish media. And so he was able to include that into the piece, which I thought also added a really nice layer and a really nice element.
All right, Vanessa, let's go ahead and listen to a little clip of that. This is from journalism student Diego Zarazua.
Before I met 4-year-old Dylan Gastelum, I knew he had a serious medical condition. But I wasn't prepared when I saw him in person.
Hola, Dylan.
Hi, sorry, you do the black one.
The first thing you notice is his face. His skin is scaly and dark red. It looks like a severe burn. It's something he's been dealing with his entire life.
I want to say this in Spanish. It's hard to me to say this in English.
Jose Gastelum is Dylan's dad.
Cuando nació, como no sé.
Like a week, I don't know, maybe a few days, he started to get worse. We didn't know what had happened because his forehead got very ugly. His cheeks had some lumps, and he didn't look like a normal baby.
Just after he was born, Dylan was diagnosed with a severe form of eczema. It covers his entire body. It pains Gastelum every time he sees his son.
Well, because you can't see him like a pretty child that you say, oh, my child is so pretty, especially because I can't even kiss him. I can't give him kisses.
He can't because Dylan's skin is so sensitive that any touch can cause pain.
And that's a little sample of the work of journalism student Diego Zarazua. His piece is called Reno Family Struggles with Child Severe Skin Disease. It's all part of the NPR Next Generation Radio Boot Camp held at the Reynolds School of Journalism here on campus some weeks ago. And all these stories, including one we're not going to get to today called From Rape Survivor to Sex Columnist, the complete audio is available if you just Google Next Generation Radio Nevada or go to KUNR.org. We'll have a link on our website as well. Nico Columbant, what is one of the takeaways that you have from working with the students outside the classroom in a setting like this?
Listen, as Vanessa said, and follow up, and don't think you know what the story is about. You know, just keep on digging. You keep on finding more, and always being on the lookout for what makes a good story, what makes it compelling, not just trying to get it done. They had a great opportunity here because they had an entire week with professionals. They learn more, I think, in the boot camp sometimes than in an entire semester.
But I think this speaks to the overall goal we have as instructors at the Reynolds School for hands-on practical experience and touch points throughout their career with professionals, whether that's through an internship program. I know that, you know, in my class, I like to ask them to have at least one mentor they're working with throughout the semester on that specific class project. And, you know, through the Nevada Media Alliance, we form partnerships with, you know, KUNR and our other media partners to give students opportunities to have their work critiqued and edited by professionals.
And Nico, closing thoughts as well from you on this project and how the importance of it?
I would really tell the students that this is a huge opportunity for them. They can learn so much. They can create such good work. It can be so important to their career. And they can figure out if they like this kind of high-quality journalism that the boot camp instills in them. So it's a huge opportunity for the students, and they have to be on their A game if they get selected.
Well, thank you very much, Vanessa Van Kor, coordinator of the Nevada Media Alliance here. And again, that's a partnership with the Reynolds School of Journalism, KUNR, the Reno Gazette Journal, and KNPB Public Television, and Nico Columbant, an adjunct instructor here of journalism, teaching one of the radio broadcast classes. Thank you guys for your participation and really for all the great passion you bring to students here on campus and just in your profession in general. It's just great. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm David Stipik. That wraps up today's Reynolds School Media Watch segment here on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines.